Come on, make some noise for Jesus Christ in here. Hallelujah. Come on, give him glory. It's not about you. It's not about me, but it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, you can remain standing as we honor the angel of this house, none other than Bishop Yates and his wonderful wife, First Lady Yates. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here with you all. You may take your seats. Thank you, Jesus. Are you all excited today? Yes. Hallelujah. I know I came to speak to the women, but I got some men in here, and we're going to have a good time with everybody. Is that all right? Yes. Hallelujah. We just give God the praise, a place that I had never been until yesterday morning, and I just feel the presence of the living God in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so happy to be here with all of you, giving honor to the leader of this great endeavor, coordinator. Give it up for Minister Yolanda. Isn't she awesome? Yeah. Uh-huh. Amen. She's diligent, Pastor. She's trained well. Amen. She's skillful in her anointing. We were in a place together at a women's empowerment, and after I finished ministering, she came and she brought me two cups of water, not one cup of water, two cups. She said, "Woman of God, I just want to bless you with a cup of water." I said, "Oh, you've been reading the Bible about if you give a prophet a cup of water, you reap a prophet's reward." Amen. Hallelujah. But I thank God for her beautiful spirit, and I praise God for her. And because of her, I am here today, and because of Bishop Yates giving me the opportunity, hallelujah, to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I also give honor to my pastors who, in their absence, senior pastors, Pastor Tony, Pastor Jody at Hope International, they bring you greetings. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not here out of order. Hallelujah. I've been released. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I also thank God for the priest of my home, my man, Mr. Deacon Ronald Smith. Come on, let's praise the Lord for him. I love you. Amen. Now, this is an honor because he doesn't like to miss Sunday morning at our church now. Hallelujah. He's like, "Okay, now this is going to be your last time going." No, but I thank God for him and joining me today. Also, we have some of our elders here. Elder Deborah, as you heard, thank you so much for your eloquence. Elder Collier, amen. My beautiful daughter, thank you, Chris Lynn, for joining us, amen. And some of our other members, my sisters in Christ, I love you, Sister Vanessa, Sister Myra, Sister Linda, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give glory to God, to each and everybody in this place, because as the late Bishop Ward would say, everybody is somebody. Come on, woman of God. Amen. You all ready for the word, amen. Glory to God. So in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, the vast array of flying things, creeping things, the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky, abundant waters, green plants, seed-bearing trees. He created all these things and put his finishing touch on it. Then he said, "Let me make man in my own image, with a soul that will live forever." He gave dominion to the man to cultivate, to flourish, to multiply. Amen. God declared that everything he had made was good. But as good as it all was, there was a problem. Now, in every good paper that we've ever written, master's thesis, dissertation, whatever your homework essays, you always have to start with a problem. And in Genesis, God started with, there is a problem. In Genesis 2:18, he says, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So God put man into a deep sleep, took a bone out of his side, and created something so exquisite, so mind-blowing, so voluptuous in the external, right? Amen. And but yet familiar at the same time. And when Adam woke up, I'm sure he said, I'm just going to paraphrase, God, this is a game changer. Come on, somebody. He said, yeah. You've given me food to eat. Amen. You've given me the plants and everything to take care of. You've given me work to do. You've given me animals to play with. But Eve, she is a game changer. Tell your female neighbor, you are a game changer. Amen. Don't get it twisted. Don't let the pantyhose and the rhinestones mix it up. I came to fight in the spirit. Hallelujah. We are game changers. Hallelujah. Even for the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So notice that there was only one Eve, though. We have to remember that, men. So in this polygamous world today, we have a lot of men that look at women as cattle. The more they have, the wealthier they become. The more women they have, the popular they are with clubs, with organizations. But not so with God. We have to make sure we understand that, men, that there was only one Eve. With the real men say, shout out and say, oh, yeah, one woman is more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's break this down. So God said, I'm going to make you a helper, someone who's fit for you. She is an indispensable part of the program, ladies. Not just some side chick. You got to understand that you are not the side piece. Come on, somebody. You are very important, not only to him, but to God's whole program and agenda that's going on in the earth. Hallelujah. So we have to remember, yes, ladies, that you are the problem solver. Tell your neighbor, you're the problem solver, not the problem maker. Proverbs 27:15 says it's like a slow drip of water on a rainy day. So it is for a man to live in the same house with a contentious woman. Huh? You can't be the problem. Amen. You can't be the problem maker. You got to be the problem solver. In Proverbs 21:9, it says it's better to live on the corner of the rooftop, the corner. Not the rooftop, the corner of the rooftop than to live in a house with a contentious woman. So remember, ladies, make sure you don't have a house of strife. We call our women at Hope International mood setters. Say mood setter. You are a mood setter. That means you set the atmosphere when you walk into a room. You set the atmosphere on your jobs. You set the atmosphere when you walk into Publix. You are a mood setter. So many people have thought the word helper has been nothing but just an auxiliary, a person that's a subordinate assistant, or just women as something to do. But no, I came to remind you, ladies, who you are. And guess what? You won't know who you are until you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know you. Amen. So she's been called to be the helper, not just a caterer, not just someone who meets the demands of her husband. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew word for help or helper is Ezer. It's spelled E-Z-E-R, but pronounced A-Y-Z-E-R. And you can be reminded of that in Exodus 18:4. It says that Moses named one of his sons Eliezer, which in Hebrew means my God is my helper. This verse explains how Ezer is basically the characteristic of strength. rescuer. You are a protector. You are a help, not inferior. Amen. You are a very much needed part of God's agenda. So in actuality, Isa was God's choice of word to actually describe the woman as helper. And then there was another Hebrew word, konegdo, that is basically Hebrew for the suitable for him part. Amen. And that means that we are designed to correspond and be in equal partnership to subdue, to multiply the earth. Amen. She is the game changer sent by God to Adam to accomplish his divine goal. And do you believe that he is still using you, ladies, today in 2019 to accomplish his divine goal? Not just to sit and have babies, but to accomplish his divine goal. Hallelujah, the game changer. Now remember, there are two kingdoms. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And we're coming against the kingdom of darkness today. Amen. Now, if I was to ask you a question, Frontier, what other person in the Bible is described as the helper? That's right, the Holy Spirit. The third part of the Trinity, he, the Holy Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit fulfills the role of helper or support as the third person in the Trinity, in the heavens, in the kingdom of God, we as women are to fulfill the role of helper and support here on earth. So God's example reveals a high and worthy calling for women as helpers, suitable for their husbands. We are not just glorified maids, but we are called to deliver folks from distress. We are called to comfort people. We are called to not to complain, but to fulfill God's role as the helper in the earth. And Proverbs 31 and 12 says she does him what? And not evil all the days of her life. Now, what are some of the things that we know about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is separate from God and Jesus, of course, but they are all unified for a common purpose. Amen. The same thing with men and women. We are separate, but yet we're unified for a common purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives to teach us and to lead us into all truth and righteousness. So we have to remember each and every one of us, born again believers, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and know that you are worth dying for. Amen. That you have been called to work and be a dominant person in the earth, to be an ambassador, a representative of his kingdom in the earth. So we're game changers. God created us to be the problem solver. Now, yes, we were created second. I'll take that because they always say the second edition is always better than the first. But every woman, I want you to repeat after me. Amen. I am a woman of worth. I am a nurturer. I am a supporter. I am a leader. I am a negotiator. I am an entrepreneur. I am a fighter. I am a teacher of the word. I am the woman of power. I am a mood setter. Amen. Come on, clap your hands for God right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you know who you are, when you know who you are, you have to understand who you are not. I like it when Jesus began to teach the disciples how to pray. He began by how not to pray. Don't go out into the synagogues and pray in front of everybody so that everyone can see what you're doing, hear what you're doing. That's your reward, right? So we have to understand that we are not a mistake. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You are not the problem. You're not a biological accident. You are not a cultural nuisance. You are not a sex slave. You are not inferior to anyone. And married people should be totally submitted to one another. Amen. So ladies, know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are blessed in the field, blessed in the city, head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are the lender and not the borrower. Amen. Now we have to remember now, yes, yes, Christ is the head of the church. Yes, yes. Man is the head of the woman. Amen. God is the head of Christ. So we understand that headship. Amen. And that headship, let's not get it twisted, men, is not for you to be a taker only. It's not for you to just demand and insist and be an oppressor or suppressor. But a real man, Paul says, when I was young, I spake as a child, I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So real men in Christ know how to be like Jesus, as Christ, self-sacrificing, giving, honoring his woman, taking care of her, protecting her. Amen. Hallelujah. And it works hand in hand. And the woman should, yes, submit to that headship. Hallelujah. Amen. But we have to understand how God proposed it. So our God, our Father, according to his word, wants you to be economically sound. He said in 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So what does that mean? He wants us to be economically sound. He wants us to have good health. Someone say, health cometh to me right now. Somebody needs to repeat that. Come on, say, good health comes to me right now. God wants to prosper your soul. He can't prosper your soul if you're in bad health or if your body is all broken down. So say, health, come to me right now. Now you've got to remember, your soul is your mind, your belief system. You cannot achieve beyond what you don't believe. You've got to believe this. A lot of women don't believe in any of the things I just said. That's not frontier, but there are a lot of women out there that don't believe that. That's why we have these cases going on, amen? The R. Kellys, the Epsteins, all of these things. And we know that they have been victimized, but again, some of them have a mindset where this is all I'm supposed to be doing. So we have a lot of work to do. You got to remember to believe it's time out for us to be held in bondage situations by the enemy. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11 says. Hallelujah. You don't have to wake up in the same shape that you're in. Hallelujah. From this moment forward, your life is going to be better and better and better. Tell your neighbor, it's not going to end like this. Hallelujah. There are some things that you're going through and you just needed to know and be a rest assured that it will not end like this. Hallelujah. You speak life into your situation. Speak life into your marriage. Speak life on your job. Walk in there as with confidence, like you know you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. And greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. So also we got to remember that we are ambassadors. You have been authorized to dominate. I used to say, and not just to compete, but to dominate. I used to say when I was younger, I thank God that my mother, she would take me from the hood, the projects, and put me into enrichment programs every summer. And she would always say, Mother, are you in here? Did you make it? Raise your hand. Oh, praise God, she made it. Hallelujah. Dr. Sanders is in the house. But I was raised under a single parent. And she would take me to enrichment programs and she'd say, I'm taking you to these places so that you will understand how to compete with others that don't look like you, how to compete with others that don't sound like you, how to compete others with others that don't do the things that you do. But then as I became a woman, I had to understand that I'm not just competing anymore, amen, but I am dominating. Hallelujah. I was telling Hope International during stewardship one day about the game of Monopoly. Monopoly is you, everybody understands the fun board game Monopoly, you know, where you're trying to be this real estate tycoon, all fake and false with your false money. Amen. And you're buying up everything. And I began to tell them, when you want to make real change, when you hate what's going on in the system, or you hate what's going on the streets, buy it. That's why we have to get in position. Come on, somebody, y'all didn't catch that. That's why we have to be in position to be in a blessable position. So when you don't like the crack house that's on your street and the things that's going on, buy it. When you don't like the billboard and what it says and what they're teaching about, buy it. And you put the word of the Lord on it. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's how we bring healing to the land. But how can we buy it if we're in bondage? If we're in debt? That's why you have to know who you have been called to be. You have been called to access every resource from the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of heaven. The angels are waiting on you to say something. They're waiting on you to say something. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to know the enemies. The only 3 points I have to say. First of all, know who you are. Because if you don't know Jesus, you don't know you. You've got to read his word. Let his seed grow up in you so that you can know who you are. Yeah. Number two, know your enemy and the tactics of the enemy. Know your enemy. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we know that the devil wants to set up shop. The battleground is in the mind, right? The soul, our thoughts. So we have to make sure that we understand we don't allow things like fear to hinder us. Hallelujah. He uses false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is false evidence appearing real. It's not real, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power and of love and of a sound mind. Tell your neighbor, I have a sound mind. When you have a sound mind, you won't be unstable in all of your ways. Come on, somebody. You won't be double-minded. Well, today I'd like a nut. Tomorrow I don't want any nuts. Amen. Well, today I'm going to go to church. You know, next week I'm not going to go to church. Oh, today I'm going to do right. Oh, the next week I'm not going to answer my husband. Oh, today I'm going to. You've got to have a sound mind. Know the tricks of the enemy. Know the tactics of the enemy. Today I'm going to speak to her, or tomorrow I won't speak to her. That's fear. You have been sent here and released because you have hidden potential that you are afraid to tap into as an ambassador of Christ. And it's because the enemy is setting up a trap in your mind to stop you. Some of you all are fearful and stagnant in your business. Hallelujah. You don't want to wake up and do the activity. But if you can work on somebody's job for 40 years, you can certainly take 3 years to build your own business. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. Remember, there's some entrepreneurs in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm talking to somebody. Amen. Amen. And of course, he says the poor will always be with us. Why is that? Because everyone is not going to receive the word on good ground. Amen. They're not going to let the word. When we get the word in our hearts and in our minds, the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy it. That's why when we leave church, someone pulls out on you. You've gotten this awesome word from Bishop Yates. He's told you what to declare and decree. And you get out there and you like, yeah, speaking in tongues. So we've got to remember the children of Israel. God delivered them. All sorts of miraculous things they saw. We see all sorts of miraculous things in our lives and in others' lives. But there's a difference. It's one thing to leave Egypt, and then there's another thing to actually enter into the promised land. There's something in between your exit. Oh, my gosh, I'm talking to somebody. There's something in between your exit of the bondage and entering into the promised land. It's something called the wilderness. Hallelujah. It's something called a giant. It's something called the Red Sea. Uh-huh. It's something that you've got to go through. Uh-huh. And believe God that if he brought you to it. God is waiting on some of us to step in the water and walk into your destiny. And you cannot do it with fear on your mind. You cannot do it with complaining on your mind. But you've got to know that only you can keep you from entering into the promised land. God is finished with you. Ha, I came to tell you God is finished with you. He's already put everything you need on the inside of you. Uh-huh. He's waiting on you to get the word and receive the word and believe the word. Amen. Hallelujah. And after fear, I got to move on, Bishop. I know. The second thing is ignorance. He uses the tactic of ignorance. He doesn't want us to know anything. Hosea states that my people perish. They're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They reject knowledge. A lot of people feel that they are lacking money. They don't have enough money. I hear this all the time because I'm a financial life coach. Hallelujah. Business mathematical teacher. But, and I get a chance to talk to many families and they don't believe that they can have what they should have with the money that they're making. And so what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that use what you've got. What did Moses tell him about his rod in his hand? He said, use what you have in your hand. So what if you're making $10 an hour? Use, get learning, get understanding, get knowledge, because where there is comprehension, there is application. And where there is application, there is manifestation. So I came to tell you, every one of us, we need self-manifestation in the earth to dominate it and to take it by force. Amen. Hallelujah. Where there is no comprehension, you can't apply it. The devil doesn't want us to apply anything that we hear and learn from God, anything that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. So I teach that you necessarily don't need more money. You need more information. Uh-huh. Because plenty of us have made a lot of money and don't have anything to show for it, truth be told. Come on, somebody. I see where nearly 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, according to the Career Builder website. So I educate families on how to live beyond your paycheck, go from not enough to more than enough by using what simply God has given you to use. You can use that same $10 an hour and work it. Somebody say work it. Yes, that's our series this month at Hope International. Work it. You've got to know how to work with God has given you, and then you will build from there. Amen. You can't just sit there and say you're going to wait. I think one of the speakers was talking about that yesterday. You're just going to wait till the blessings just start flowing in. You've got to work it in order to get to the paradise. You've got to work it in order to be a homeowner. You've got to work it in order to get your investments to $400,000 and $500,000. You've got to work it. Work what you have. God has already given it to you. He's ready for you to go and take everything back that was stolen from the enemy, because it's yours anyway. Amen. We have access to the kingdom of heaven. So, ladies, remember, your atmosphere changes when you change. If you want your husband to change, you change. If you want your church to be a little different, you change. If you want things on your job to go better, you change. Amen. First lady said that yesterday. God is not going to ask me what Bishop Yates did to me and how he said it and what he did. He's going to ask me, what did you change? I prayed for years for my husband to change. Help me, Holy Ghost. Come on. Are we going to have a sidebar? Somebody say sidebar. Yeah. The word is for all of us, but we're going to have a sidebar, ladies. Can we have a sidebar real quick? See, I prayed for years because we are opposites. And I had to learn 13 years later that because we're opposites, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. But I didn't know that at the beginning. Amen. Did nobody tell me that? I was looking for him to be like-minded like me, to think like me, to do the things like me. And yes, we are equally yoked. Yes, we love the Lord. But there are some things that he does that I don't do. There are some things that I do that he doesn't do. And so the enemy uses those opposite things to destroy and attack your marriage and tell you, oh, this is not going to work. Just get over it. Just get rid of it. It's not worth it. He's telling you about the church. It's not worth it. It's not going to change. And nothing going to be different. But I begin to get into my secret closet. And I say, God, before we sign these divorce papers that we're trying to get written up here, hallelujah, speak to me. Is there anything, God, that I should be doing, that we should be changing, that we should be thinking through, that we should be talking to? What is it, God? And all I heard was, change you. You look into yourself and see how you can support and be a helpmeet that I've called you to be to your husband. God didn't say nothing about what he was saying and what he was doing. You know, I wanted to talk about him, but God said, no, 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 no. When he comes in, you take his shoes off. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. I'm gonna deal with you. Uh-huh. When he begins to ignore you, you just continue to cook and lay it at the table and set it for him. You'll be the moose that I've called you to be. Why? Because you are the game changer. You change the game, ladies. Don't come crying one more time about your husband. Say what you're gonna do in you. Amen, because you changed the game. And when I began to do that, something clicked and my husband woke me up at 3:00 in the morning. He said, wait a minute, I got to talk to you. Wait a minute, hell, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but I want to get this thing right. Whatever I'm not doing, whatever we should be saying, whatever we disagree on, whatever that doesn't seem right, can we get it together? Come on, somebody say, let's get it together. He said, because God didn't call us to act like this. Amen. God didn't call our marriage to be like this. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's what the enemy decides he wants to do. He wants to take ignorance. He wants to take information from you. And my mission is to make sure that our communities, our families are financially healthy. They are financially wealthy and understand that God has designed us to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation. Hallelujah. Millennials, don't let nobody tell you that you're nothing and that you shouldn't have been here. You are here for such a time as this to use your technology, to use the abundance of information that God created. Yes. Amen. For such a time as this. Amen. That's why we can get rid of traditions. Now, there's some things that are great and we have to be rooted in and sound in and be very sure in. But just because mama and grandma did it that way, no, we don't have to do it that way always. Amen. It's because they had to work with what they had. Now, God is saying, you, 2019, you work with what I've given you. That's why you shall do greater works than I did, because you can reach more people. He didn't have planes and trains and automobiles. Amen. Come on, somebody. He didn't have social media for you to bless somebody all the way in Europe and say, God has need of you. God loves you. God desires for you to be in his kingdom. Amen. Just a push of a button. And the enemy wants to taint it and take it away from you and tell you that it's no good. Hallelujah. When we're in an hour where we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And thirdly, the enemy comes through persecution. Satan uses persecution to snatch everything from us. The enemy uses people to drive you away or push you away from righteousness. The Hebrew word, the Greek word diako for persecution means to put to flight, to drive away. So when you are suffering through persecution for righteousness, many of us are even dealing with it in our families. With our families, not just waiting until we get at work. With our families, we're going through persecution. It's the attack of the enemy. Behind every persecution is a principality. Make sure you understand that. So when you're going through it, it's not your sister. It's not your husband. It's not your pastor. It's not your brother. It's the principality in darkness beyond that persecution. And you have to rebuke it to the core. Say, I rebuke that demonic force coming against me right now. In the name of Jesus. It wasn't because my mother locked me out of my house the other day. That was the enemy. I say, Mama, we don't lock our garage door right here on the side. My mother locked it anyway. Hey, I couldn't find no key. Amen, brother. Amen. And so I wanted to say, Mom, don't you always do that? I said, the Holy Spirit said, that's the enemy. He's coming to distract you. He wants to use any little thing to pull you apart from your relationships. He wants to use any little thing to drive you away from that word that has been hidden in your heart that you might not sin against God. So, but I declare and decree that you are going to be hidden in that secret place today of the Most High God. Let your persecutors not push you into comparing yourself to others, but push you into the altar, into your closet. Sometimes you have to go into the bathroom stall and say, for God I live and for God I die. God, I give you the praise. I don't know what's going on in this place, but God, I serve you. I thank you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. That is the weapon that we use. Lastly, know how to fight. When fear, you're up against ignorance and things you don't know, get into the word. Push YouTube and let the word just speak to you. And learn, know God's way. Know his will. Know how to fight. Lastly, number one, you've got to pray correctly. A lot of times we have been praying the wrong things. We've been coming to God talking about everything that's going on when he already knows. Amen. Your prayer time, Paul says, he says to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known. For years, I didn't know the difference between prayer and supplication. I just always assumed they were simultaneously used. Amen. But prayer is when you stand firm and speak his word. Hallelujah. God, you said, hallelujah, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. There's nobody like you. And then your supplications are your requests. Hallelujah, God. Lord God, I pray, Father God, let your will be done, God. God, let your will be done if it's for me to walk into that situation, for me to say that, for me to go and respond correctly. Give me my approach, God. What is it I should say? And then thanksgiving, thanking him for everything, for all things, for his protection. As our pastor says, Pastor Tony says, 90% of my prayer is just thanking God. Hallelujah. When we just thank God and thank him and praise him for everything, he'll take care of the rest. Anybody believe that? Oh, he'll take care of the rest. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. So remember, speak it. Pray God's will be done in your life. There's no need for comparison. The number one reason for depression is comparison. If you start comparing yourself to other people all day, of course you'll be depressed. That's why it's not of God's will in your life to do. God uniquely made you. He says, I know the very number of hairs on your hair. I care for you. I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. God already has given you your assignment. Every day you wake up and breath in your body, you should make the devil mad. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Ha, he should be saying, oh, she's up again, or he has gotten up again. Oh my goodness. That means you have purpose to fulfill in the earth. So pray God's will. Don't pray amiss. Watch your motives. Know that what you're asking from God is in his will, because you know his will from his word. And then you speak it lastly. open your mouth and say something. Tell your neighbor, say, open your mouth and say something. There is a direct correlation between the things that come out of your mouth and the things that happen in your life. So yes, when we were kids, we used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt you. Oh yes. Now other people's words may not hurt you. Now what Yolanda say about me, that's not going to hurt me, but what I say about me, that's going to hurt me. So know the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight your battle. Come on, everybody, stand on your feet. Come on, let's give God glory in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. We declare and decree. We declare and decree that things will be different. We declare and decree, God, that your will be done in this earth. That kingdom come. That will be done. He wants to use you in every area of your life. Come on, give him praise as Bishop comes at this time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. How many got that word? How many got that word? It wasn't just for the women. It's for the men to understand the role of that woman that's in your life. That when you have something that honorable, you've got to take care of it. And sometimes you can wonder, hey, you know, listen, this thing's, you know, my helpmate has made me mad. But you don't know how many times that helpmate done got you out of trouble while you were mad. So our job is to protect and to keep and to honor and to love and to find out the purpose for the one that God put in our lives. Because when you can discover that, you can discover divine change, the kind of change you need. Shanita, what was there anything you'd like to share today?
The word is life. It is life-changing, and when it gets on the inside of us, it causes us to become a different kind of creature. You know, when God sent Jesus, he was the first of his kind. And then when we accepted him into our hearts, we became his kind, different from the old kind. We became new. And that's what the word does. He is living word. And that's what we heard this morning. All yesterday, we heard living word. I mean, that's no better way to sit down at the table and eat. When you can have it before you and you know just looking at it, and when it gets into your spirit, it just melts, you know, like food melts in your mouth. That's what the word did today. And I thank God for his word, because when we leave this place, we will be changed. As you let that word marinate in your heart and in your mind, and you put some action to it, the next time you walk in this building, you will not look the same, sound the same, walk the same, be the same. We'll be more like him. Hallelujah. So let's give the Lord praise for who he is and what he's doing in this place. Hallelujah.
Wow.